Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Today, I would like to speak on looking. What are we looking at? And so last time, we talked about what are we thinking about. This time, I want to talk about what are we looking at. Looking is an important thing because you don't realize how much you're looking at something, right? The other day, I went on my phone, and they have something that they could show you how much screen time you have. And I was shocked how much time I'm on my phone. And I was like, wow, I'm really looking at this thing a lot. But if you count in the time you're on your phone, you count in the time when you're on the computer, you count the time when you watch the TV, I mean, it's a big chunk of your day. So I started to think about, what are you thinking about? And hopefully we can look at a couple of people who are looking. And the first one I want to look at is Lot. And that's Genesis chapter 13, and we'll read from verse 10. And it says, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord had destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plains of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. And they separated from each other. And Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord." And here is the danger of looking, or the danger of ambition, or dwelling in the future, looking to the future without Christ or the Lord being in view. That's a danger of the world, a danger where Lot saw all the plains and it was well watered, and the world makes us look at this world and say, oh, this has so much to offer. And we know in 1 John, it talks about the lust of eyes and the pride of life and the lust of the flesh. All these things are the things that are grabbing our attention. And Lot looked at the plains and he said, wow, you know what I'm saying? This has so much to offer me, right? And what happened is that he didn't look to the Lord. He didn't look to the Lord for direction. All he looked at was the progress that he could have, the ambition. That's what the world wants to do. Like, they want you to look at what you can become in this world. But what happened is that we know what happened in the end of Lot. You know what I'm saying? That it started off beautiful, right? And that's how the world always wants to make you look. It's a beautiful picture that it paints. But what happens is that afterwards, we saw that Lot ended up in Sodom and Gomorrah. He started going further and further and further into the city. And that's what the enemy likes to make us do. When we look, it's first a nice little look, right? And then we start saying, well, you know, and then we start to compromise and go further and further. And so Lot, the Bible says, Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan. So his eyes was on his future, his ambition, but his eyes weren't on the things of the Lord. And I just want to encourage us with that. So let's go on to somebody else. In Joshua chapter 7 and verse 19. So what happened was, here in this chapter, was the children of Israel had just got defeated in Ai. And it's funny that when I was reading this, Ai, they got defeated by Ai. But they got defeated in Ai. And in verse 19... Well, they went before the Lord, and the Lord revealed that something had happened. And we found out the culprit in verse 19. It says, "Now Joshua said to Achan, 'My son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord of Israel and make confession to him and tell me what you have done, and do not hide it from me.' And Achan answered Joshua and said, 'Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord of Israel, and this is what I have done. And when I saw among the spoil a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them, and there they are, hidden in the earth, in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it." And so here we see that the progression of him looking at it. It says, Achan said, he said he saw it. It says that he coveted it, and then he took them. And this is how, again, the looking always starts, right? He saw it, coveted it, then he took it. And this is how the world grabs our attention. And again, this is the looking here is basically the look of covetousness. The world wants you to say, I want what he has. I want what they have. And it's trying to grab our attention and take our attention from the Lord Jesus Christ. But the encouragement here for us is that we have to be careful what we look in secret. The hidden things is what's dangerous, right? Because he did all this in secret and then he hid it in the earth. And this is the thing is that the phones, the things that we're looking at, these are things that are personal, right? Nobody can see what we're doing. He thought that nobody could see what he was doing, but the effects affected everybody, right? Because the children of Israel got defeated because of what he did. He thought he was just doing something secret, and he thought he was looking at something as something secret, and he put it and hid it away, and he was maybe going to do something with it later. But the enemy took that and caused a defeat for all the children of God there. And so my encouragement to us is that as we look, as we're looking at certain things and we're doing certain things, we should look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we look to this world, it not only affects us, but affects everybody around us. And the same thing happened with Lot, you know, Lot's wife. She ended up also looking, right? You know what I'm saying? If we remember that she looked back and she became a pillar of salt. And that to me is the look of the world puts a look of regret, I call it, right? You look back and say, well, you know, I wish I was still in the world, because if I was in the world, I wouldn't be going through these problems. I wouldn't have to do these things and stuff like that. People wouldn't be, you know, judging me in a certain way or something like that. But the encouragement is that for us to look forward, to look to the Lord. The enemy is always trying to make us look at the world, look at the people around us. Another instance in John chapter, I believe, John chapter 20, when the Lord Jesus Christ was recovering Peter, Peter said to him, what about that guy? You know what I'm saying? You know, he said, oh, you know, you're going to do all these things and stuff like that. So Peter says, what about him? And the Lord Jesus Christ said, what is that to you? You follow me. The problem is that we like to look at others. We like to look at the world. We like to look at different things. The Lord is calling us to just look at him. Another instance that we know, again with Peter, is when Peter was walking on the water. He was looking at the Lord. As soon as he took his eyes off the Lord and he started to look at the things around him, what happened is that he started to sink. He started to sink and he started to fall. And then he said, Lord, save me. And so my encouragement to us is that we should always look to the Lord for guidance, look to the Lord to protect, look to the Lord. And we're going to look at the benefits of looking to the Lord, because there are several benefits for looking at the Lord. But I just wanted to go through these examples so we can know that it's important that we look at the Lord. A couple other instances is David in 2 Samuel chapter 11. And I like to hone in on these things, a lot of examples, because I think it's important, because we know that the Spirit of God is trying to hone in our attention that we should stop looking in the world, looking to these things, but he wants us to hone in on looking at Christ. So we read from verse 1. And it happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David remained at Jerusalem. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and someone said, is not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her. For she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house, and the woman conceived. So she sent and told David, I am with child. And I don't want to read all of it, but we know that David basically had her husband killed because he wanted, you know, what he had, right? And so the first thing is that David wasn't in the right place. Is that the kings would go to battle, but David stayed at home. And he was looking over and watching this woman bathe. And today, we may not do that thing, but, you know, the phone is something, again, the internet, all these different things, they're putting enticing images, trying to get you to look at these things. But encouragement to us should be that we should again look to the Lord. And this is the danger. David is the danger of looking and coveting again, is that this is the world, the way the world wants us to look and covet, to desire. Another person that did the same thing was Samson. In Judges chapter 14, Samson saw a woman from the Philistine. He says that this woman is pleasurable to me, you know, that I desire her. He told his parents that he desired her and he wanted to get her for me. And again, what happened with Samson? At the end, he ended up losing his eyes. He ended up losing his sight because of this continuing looking. And we know that Samson had a problem with that. He kept on looking. He went to Delilah. He kept on looking and finding things that he lusted for in this world. And every time you look to this world to lust after things that it has or what it can offer, it always ends up, the scripture is warning us, it always ends up in defeat. It always ends up in a bad way. We see Samson lost his eyes. David with the child ended up dying. And, you know, again, he murdered somebody. You know, this was a low point in his life. You know, we saw about Lot, Achan, his whole family. I didn't read it, but his whole family was stoned and they put stones upon them and basically covered them up because of what he did. And so the thing is that I want to encourage us that the things that we do, it seems trivial. It seems like easy. You may look at something and you may feel, well, it's not affecting me and stuff like that, but it is affecting you. And later on is that these things conceive a greater sin. It shows you that it conceives a greater sin. And so we have to be careful on what we look at. We have to be careful where our attention is drawn to. And so I just want to encourage us with that. Judas was another person. In John chapter 12, Judas looked at the money and what was going on. And he pretended like he really cared. Verse 4. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why wasn't this fragrant oil sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box. And he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you have not always." And Judas, he looked, but he didn't find the value in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he looked at what the lady was given, but he was like, you know, why are you wasting? Basically what he said, why are you wasting your money on him? Right? Why are you wasting your money on him? It doesn't make any sense. He didn't see the value in what the Lord Jesus Christ was. And when we look at the Lord, do we find the value in what the Lord has to offer versus the world? The world was more valuable to Judas than the Lord. And this is the thing that I want to encourage us with, is that we see that later on what happened with Judas too, right? He was looking at this world. He was looking at his thing. He ended up killing himself, right? Because of the guilt and everything. But I believe that he killed himself because I believe just like when Peter looked at the Lord and he went and wept bitterly, because I believe that even after they did all these things to the Lord, they still saw the love in the Lord Jesus Christ's eyes. They still saw how the Lord Jesus Christ looked at them. And I believe that every time the Lord Jesus Christ looked at somebody, you could see the love in his eyes. Why I say that? The rich young ruler. The rich young ruler, when the Lord Jesus Christ looked at him, it says that the Lord Jesus Christ looked upon him and he loved him. The Lord Jesus Christ knew he was going to reject him, but he looked upon him in love. It says when he looked at the people, when he was feeding the 5,000, it says when he looked upon them, he looked upon them and he had compassion upon them. When it says that, when he was on Lazarus' grave, you know what I'm saying? The people said, look how he loved him. You know what I'm saying? You know, every time the Lord Jesus Christ looked at somebody, I believe that they saw how he loved them, right? And so I believe that they couldn't, you know, well, Peter went and cried bitterly when he looked at the Lord Jesus Christ and their eyes met. But I believe when Judas saw how the Lord Jesus Christ thing is that the guilt took him over. But we saw how Judas also valued the Lord Jesus Christ. The amount of money that he was paid to betray the Lord Jesus Christ was the price of a slave. That's why he valued the Lord Jesus Christ. He never ever valued the Lord Jesus Christ. He only valued the things of this world. And that's why I want to encourage us, is that how do we value the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we value the things of this world more than the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do we look at him and we see a person who's gave his life for us and who loves us so much? And so he didn't see the value. Those are the negative things. So I want to end on a positive note. So the first one would be in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. Because I want to see what's the benefits of looking at the Lord. Chapter 3 and verse 18. And it says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord as being transformed in the same image from glory unto glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." So as we look at the Lord, we become just like him. We change. Our appearance changes. Our attitude changes. And that's the importance of looking at the Lord, right? You can't not, if you're trying to emulate somebody, it's hard to emulate somebody if you're not looking at them. Like I remember when I was small, I wanted to be like Michael Jordan. So I used to always watch the games and I'm trying to dribble like him. I couldn't dunk, but I mean, I tried to, you know, shoot like him. And, you know, when I go to the court with the playground, I'm trying to play like him because I kept on looking at him and trying to emulate him. If we're trying to be like Christ, we have to look like him. We have to look at him. And as the Bible says, as we look at him, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. So that as we look at that person in the glory, right, that we end up being changed. And so that's the important part of that's one of the importance of looking at the Lord. Another one is in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. And I'll read from verse 1. "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which is easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." And this is the part. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before us, him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." So it's important for us to look to Jesus because this gives endurance for our walk. We know that somebody has gone on before us. It gives us endurance knowing that he has done it and that he has gone on before us. But also it helps us to encourage us as we go through this walk, knowing that we have an anchor. We have a something anchoring us that we can look to him and to be our guide, to be our sustenance as we walk. So this is important for us so we can look at him. And we can know we have endurance of victory. We can look at him. We can look at him and know that we can go through this walk. We can look at him and become more like him. But also, I want to go back to Peter walking on the water. Looking at him helps us be stabilized in this world. The world is going like this, right? It's like the storm. You know, as you're walking in a storm, it's taking you everywhere you go. Wind, you know, every to and fro, right? But as you walk and you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be stabilized even on stormy waters, even on stormy things. So looking at Jesus has a benefit for us. Looking at the world, we see all the examples of looking at the world. What happens? It affects us. It affects the people around us. It's detrimental to us in the long term. But looking to Jesus really, really helps us as we go through this as we go through this walk. So we could look to Jesus, but I also wanted to, another one in Psalms chapter 34, another benefit for looking at Jesus. Psalms 34 and verse 5. And I want to read this translation because I like this translation, what it says. It says, "If you look to him for help, he will put a smile on your face. You will have no need to be ashamed." And so that's another benefit for looking at the Lord. He'll put a smile on your face. To know that as you walk through this world and you're looking at everything, you look at the news, it's depressing. You read, open up the newspaper, it's depressing. You get on your, you're driving around, people cutting you off, they're doing all kind of things, it's depressing. You know what I'm saying? You go on your job, it's depressing. You know what I'm saying? But if you look at the Lord, he'll put a smile on your face. Because knowing that all through the things that you're going through, that you know that you have a Lord who loves you, who's gone on before us, we can look to him to be our guide. But I also wanted us to be encouraged that the Lord is looking at us also. He's looking at us. He says that he knows the amount of hairs that's on our head. know what I'm saying? I was also like when the Lord Jesus Christ, when the widow was putting in her mites, right? That the Lord was looking at everybody who was going in, and he was looking at everybody. So it says that he's looking at our sacrifice, looking at what we give. You know what I'm saying? But he's looking at us at love. He's looking at us in love. And that's the beautiful part I like, is that when we look at all the things that we have done, right? You know what I'm saying? You know, the Lord, I don't deserve for the Lord to love me, but he loves us. He loves us not of anything we have done. He looks at us and he loves us. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly, therefore from now you all have wars." But I just want to hone in on the first part. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." So the Lord is looking at us. The Lord is looking at us with eyes of love. And I want to encourage us with these few scriptures, is that we should continue looking unto the Lord. The world is trying to grab our attention. And I know that more than anybody, because I'm at a computer sometimes of the day, or I'm on my phone, whether it be business-wise, whatever, and stuff like that. So everything is trying to grab your attention and make us look at these things. But I want to encourage us that we look to the Lord. Look to the Lord. He loves us. He's looking at us. He wants us to look at him. And the benefits, we see the benefits of looking at the world, and we see the benefits of looking at the Lord. He put a smile on your face. He'll give you stability in this time of trouble. You know what I'm saying? What we read before is that he gives us endurance for our walk. And as we look at him, we become more like him. So when people look at us, they don't see us. They see him. They see him as Brother John was thinking with the singing. They can see his light shining out of us. And they may be drawn to Christ by the life that we live, by the way we would walk. So let's continue to look at the Lord and stop looking at the world. And I'm speaking to myself first, because I wouldn't even tell you what my screen time was. But I mean, I would tell you that we have to be encouraged to look at the Lord more and find more time with him. Amen.